Appreciate everything that's been said and all of the conversations that have taken place in this room this morning that I was privy to. I appreciate Jack's words at the Lord's table, as well as Kevin's comments and the reading, the prayers, Chad's prayer. I especially want to notice something that Jack said in the bulletin this week. Taking things for granted is one of the largest curses of our time. We even sing that song to remind us to count our blessings, name them one by one. That's a very pertinent point. And although Father's Day is just a day that was invented by man and has been largely commercialized as Mother's Day had, it is appropriate to mention that it is Father's Day and to thank the fathers who are among us. I'd like to talk with you this morning about gratitude in general, but I want to say a few things about fatherhood as well. When we study the Bible, it changes us with our permission. And that's one of the great reasons we get together in times like this and study a piece, little piece of the Bible, as we did this morning with the Philippian letter. That will change us for good if we allow it to. And hopefully all of us are interested, even concerned about making fine changes in our lives, changing the fine print so that it reads better to God and to others who see us. We are commanded by God to be grateful and to have an attitude of gratitude. In that first chapter of the Roman letter that Dwight read for us this morning, we see the steps down to degradation that the Gentile nations made after they left God. They glorified him not as God. That was the first step away. Neither were thankful. That was the second step away. And after they were not thankful to God any longer, didn't think they needed to be thankful to God because maybe he doesn't even really exist, then they became more and more perverse. They went into idolatry and they became more bestial. But one of the beginning marks of that was they no longer were thankful. It's hard to continually remember to be as thankful as we ought to be. But God expects it, and God commands appreciation, not only to himself, but that we have appreciation to other people and just generally in life, that we be appreciative of the things that we ought to be appreciative of. So he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This doesn't mean to be thankful for everything. To be thankful in everything means that even in the darkest hour of circumstance, there are things that we can find to be thankful for. Jack talked about going out and getting in your car and driving off in it and being appreciative that the engine starts, that there's enough gas, that the tires hold up. That's really true. That's such an important point and so easy to take for granted and overlook that. If you have a flat tire, what is there to be thankful for in that? You can be thankful that the other three didn't go flat. And that can be a real issue at times, to have the right attitude when things are going wrong. In everything, give thanks. This is a commandment. Find something to be grateful for, even when things are going wrong. And this is not just flippantly saying thank you, but it's an issue of having that feeling and then expressing it. A feeling of thankful appreciation for favors or benefits received. It's a warm, appreciative response to kindness. There's always something to be thankful for, even if you're in a concentration camp. Viktor Frankl wrote a book about his experience there. There's always something to be thankful for. The question is, do you radiate an attitude of gratitude throughout your daily life, or do you not? If you're like me, and apparently like Jack, it's hard to maintain that. And that's the reason for talking about it. So I'd like to compartmentalize our gratitude a little bit. Talk about gratitude to our parents. Now, many of us no longer have living parents or a parent, but there are a number of people here today who do have living parents. It's Father's Day, so I'll just talk a little bit about appreciation to our fathers. There's a song that comes to mind, and I don't even know who wrote this. I'm not all that familiar with the song. I have only heard it sung one time or two, maybe. But it kind of struck me, and I think I'll just cite some of the lyrics of it for you, because it has to do with fathers. Now, the song itself was called My Old Man, but that was not meant in any disrespective way. When I was growing up, somebody told me, it wasn't my dad who told me, but somebody told me that it was disrespectful to refer to your dad as the old man, and I'm sure it could be used disrespectfully, but it could also perhaps be a term of endearment, and that's the way this writer meant it. And I wish I knew who wrote it. I'm sure that information is available on the internet, as so much else is available. It was called My Old Man. This was written a number of years ago. The writer said, I miss my old man tonight. I wish he was here with me. With his corny jokes and his cheap cigars, he could look you in the eye and sell you a car. That's not an easy thing to do. But no one ever knew a more charming creature on this earth than my old man. He was a pilot in the big war, in the U.S. Army Air Corps, in a C-47 with a heavy load hauling combat cargo for the Burma Road. And after they dropped the bomb, he came home and married Mom. And not long after that, he was my old man. And all the fights we had when my brother and I made him mad. He'd get all boiled up and he'd start to shout, and I knew what was coming, so I tuned him out. And now the old man's gone, and I'd give all I own just to hear what he said when I wasn't listening to my old man. I miss my old man tonight. I can almost see his face. He was always trying to watch his weight. His heart only made it to 58. And for the first time since he died, late last night I cried. I've been wondering when I was going to do that for my old man. If you have a living parent, do you radiate that attitude of gratitude that they need to see and feel from you? I see Jan sitting on the back row. Her father was born in 1916. Just last month celebrated his 97th birthday. And he's ailing now. And Jan's going to miss him when he goes. She knows it won't be too long. But she and her siblings have consistently, through the years, demonstrated this attitude of gratitude toward their father. They've been an inspirational example of that. He lives over in Illinois and won't be with us too much longer. He may be the oldest man that I actually know living. I know a lot of women over 100, but only one man, 97, I think. It's a good example. That attitude of gratitude. This morning, looking across the way, I saw Daryl with a picture, a card that Denny had sent him. There was a picture on the front of that card that took me back about 60 years. That was Daryl as I originally knew him. So it's a good thing, Denny showing that attitude of gratitude toward a father. God thought it was important enough that he commanded this. Honor thy father and thy mother. This is the first commandment with promise. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. How much does it cost to raise a child? Well, I've heard all kinds of statistics on this through the year, and the dollar number keeps going up through the years. When I first started hearing about this years ago, it was a lot lower than it is now. The last number I heard on how much it costs to raise a child from birth to mature, productive adulthood was in six figures. It was well over $100,000. And that seems amazing to think of it, but then you think of all the food, all the clothes, all the gas for all the trips hauling back and forth, car expenses, and education and everything else. Over $100,000 to raise one child. Have you shown your parents $100,000 worth of appreciation? Somebody back in the back this morning said they appreciated me taking care of my mother while she's been in the hospital and out at John Knox. Well, I can't begin to pay a fraction of what she's done for me. It's a joy to try to take care of her. We need to do this, and there's value in it for us. If your parents are living, you have an obligation to them. I'll tell you a very sad thing. I have often stood beside the casket that had a parent inside, and a young person was standing there welling up with feelings of regret over appreciation not paid to them. David Gates, who was the lead singer of a singing group back a number of years ago called Bread, he wrote a song actually sitting in a funeral parlor where his father was lying in a casket. A lot of people, when they heard it and it became a popular song, they thought it was a love song about a girl. But he wrote this about his father after his father had died. It was called Everything I Owe, Everything I Own. You sheltered me from harm, kept me warm, kept me warm. You gave my life to me, set me free, set me free. The finest years I ever knew were all the years I had with you. And I would give anything I own, give up my life, my heart, my home. I would give anything I own just to have you back again. You taught me how to love, what it's of, what it's of. You never said too much, but still you showed the way. And I knew from watching you, no one else could ever know that part of me that can't let go. And I would give anything I own, give up my life, my heart, my home. I would give everything I own just to have you back again. And then he said, is there someone you know, you're loving them so, but taking them all for granted? You may lose them one day. Someone takes them away, and they don't hear the words you long to say. I would give anything I own just to touch you once again. What a tragedy it is when relationships are broken and we feel like we can no longer express that gratitude, that appreciation toward people who have done good, and in many cases so much good for us. Jesus Christ, having his own problems while he was hanging on the cross in John 19:26, set us a great example. He made arrangements for his mother to be taken care of after his death. That was gratitude expressed to her. Now, like every coin, this one has two sides. What about gratitude to your children? Jacob loved Joseph more than he loved his other children, and it set up a tremendous dynamic for evil within that family. Joseph's brothers hated him because of that dynamic, and you know all about the sibling jealousy and what came of that. Every child is special in their own way, but Jacob apparently failed to see the special things about most of his sons. Do you express appreciation to your children and for their children? They're supposed to take care of you, but that would be easier if you are expressing gratitude to them. What about when they try and fail? I grew up near one family that had three little boys who were stair steps, and they all looked like little monkeys. They used to play Little League baseball right across the street from our house. And I could hear their father yelling at those boys all the way into our house sometimes, before air conditioning, the windows were open in the summertime. Hear that father cussing those little boys out. They couldn't do anything right on the ball field. They could not live up to their father's expectations. Well, if your children have difficulty living up to your expectations, that sets up an angst. We need to encourage and positively support our children. We need to provoke not our children to wrath, and we often think of little children with regard to that, and I think that's what the apostle was actually saying. But no matter how old they get, still, don't provoke them to wrath, lest they be discouraged. What about in our other relationships? What about husband to wife, wife to husband? The story was told about the husband who was complaining. His wife was scrambling the eggs, and he'd get the eggs, and he'd say, "You know, I don't like scrambled eggs. I wanted them fried." And so the next morning, she fried the eggs, and he said, "How come you fried the eggs? I wanted them scrambled." So the next day, she scrambled one egg and fried the others, and she heard him grumbling again, and she said, now what could possibly be wrong? I scramble the eggs, you want them fried, I fry them, you want them scrambled, so you have one fried and one scrambled this morning. What could be wrong? He said, "Well, you scrambled the wrong egg." It's impossible to please you if you got that kind of a mindset. On the other hand, the story was told of a man who came in where his wife was fixing the breakfast and cooking the eggs, and he said, "Oh, now don't forget the salt, and don't forget that it's time to turn them over." Down, just kept harping at her. She said, "Now what in the world is wrong with you?" He said, "I just wanted you to know how it feels when you're sitting beside me while I drive." Give me all this advice about what needs to happen next. It's so easy to take your spouse for granted. Another story was told about a woman who had just had everything she felt like she could take, and she wanted to get a divorce, but she really wanted to hurt her husband. So she went to a counselor about this, and the counselor said, "I'll tell you what you do. You need to give him a big build-up before you leave him. Make him feel like you really love him. Do everything that you know he likes. Take care of him. And then when you get him to that place, he's going to be so completely disoriented when you leave him that it'll just tear him completely apart. He'll just be really hurt when you leave him." A few months later, that same counselor saw this woman on the street and they said, "Well, how's it been going? Are you divorced yet?" And she said, "Oh, divorce. We have a brand new relationship. We've never appreciated each other so much." Because she took the time to express what was not appreciation to begin with, but he responded to it and began to be good to her, and they developed a whole new relationship. Let every man so love his wife, and let the woman see that she reverences her husband. The premier passage, of course, is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 through 33 there. It tells all about how husbands and wives ought to treat each other. Do you radiate that attitude of gratitude that shows your wife that you love her as yourself? Why does a woman go out and fritter away $1,000 that you don't have? Just to feel special. She doesn't feel it any other way, perhaps. When was the last time you told your wife that you appreciate a meal that she prepared and you do not take it for granted? That you appreciate the clean clothes in the closet? That you appreciate her help in church matters, her companionship? Wouldn't it be great if every terminally ill person could hear as their last words in this world, words of appreciation for what they have been and done to somebody else? Every time I leave home, I leave with the keen realization that I might never get back again. And what was it that I have left as my last impression? Let the wife see that she reverences her husband. Radiate a deep respect. Yelling, nagging, complaining tears down a man, causes him to attempt to find appreciation from some other source. When was the last time you expressed gratitude for the earnings that he brings home? Of course, he doesn't make enough, but he brings something home. When was the last time you expressed appreciation for him mowing the yard or shoveling the driveway or working on the plumbing? Why is it difficult to get him to do these things? Well, in many cases, if he does one of these things, he'll just get nagged about doing another one. What happens at your house when the husband does mow the yard? Do you express appreciation for that in a proper way? Do you support him? You know, in an unpleasant home, and I've been in a lot of them, in an unpleasant home, it's usually, I'd say almost always, a place where the husbands and wives don't feel gratitude toward one another. It's easy to have unpleasantness if you emphasize the things that are going wrong. Look at the things that are going right, emphasize them, feel gratitude about them, and then express that. What about in the church? Paul had a lot to say about expressing gratitude in the church. He expressed gratitude to Phoebe and Onesiphorus, and we could go on and on with a long list of people that Paul expressed gratitude to and for. When was the last time you encouraged the elders of our congregation here. They have a thankless job. It's a relentless job. It goes on and on through decades. When was the last time you encouraged them? I know you appreciate them, but when was the last time you let them know that? I'm just appalled by what it takes to be an elder. I saw my dad do this. I've seen many other people do it long term. And it takes a big toll. From a worldly standpoint, a man would be crazy to become an elder of a congregation. In almost no cases is there any money involved in it. There's just possibilities for difficulties at every turn. It's extra pressure on your wife and family. There's criticism. There are enormous demands on your time. It restricts your mobility. It restricts your recreation. There are all kinds of worldly reasons not to be an elder. There are only two reasons why a man would ever be an elder, as I can see it. And one of them is what Kevin was talking about. There are some people who like prestige. I think I have known people who went into the eldership because they like prestige. Usually they're disappointed in that about the second week because there's this much prestige and this much work in the eldership. The only other reason, and the only good reason, for a man to become an elder is just that he loves the Lord. He knows that this is a difficult job, but somebody's needing to do it, and God has equipped him to do it, and so he feels the responsibility, and he does it. You say, well, I don't agree with everything they do. Well, of course you don't, because you're not them. But still, as Chad was pointing out in his prayer this morning, there's a great deal to be appreciated in the way these men lead the congregation. When was the last time you said to an elder's wife, I know that there is a lot of time that you spend alone while your husband is doing the work of an elder, and I just want you to know I appreciate your sacrifice. The emotional drain of this particular job on the husband and wife is a rather phenomenal thing. It cannot fully be appreciated, perhaps, unless you have done that job. It's a thankless job, and we need to express our appreciation for that. We need to express our appreciation to our deacon who does the work so well. Everybody needs to be encouraged. All the people that we appreciate, we need to express that appreciation to them. What about the teachers of our classes from time to time? We make a tragic mistake by not thanking them. They can feel alone sometimes when they're doing this job. Sometimes if somebody is teaching a class in the basement, and then later on there's discussion of what went on in the auditorium class, everybody can join into that except the man or the woman who was downstairs teaching the children. They're not included in that. They're not a part of it. They're left out of it. There's appreciation that we need to express to one another in all the different roles for good that we hold. We need to primarily, though, express our appreciation to God, as I said earlier. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He says that, he commands us that, because he knows that our life goes better if we are this way, if we radiate that attitude of gratitude. Think about your food at mealtime when you thank God. What do you owe God, you ask? Suppose he sent his bill, $100,000 for the sun upon the hill, $2,000 for the little brook that runs along the way, $500 for the nighttime, $1,000 for the day, $600 for the little birds that chirp and trill and sing, $600 for the tiny flowers that tell us when it's spring. These are bills which everyone of every clime forget. If God should charge you what you owe, you'd never pay the debt. Suppose you had a child and that child always refused to obey you. We would interpret that disobedience as a lack of love and a lack of appreciation. Our Heavenly Father has told us what to do to be saved. I made the remark at our basket dinner a month ago on May, I think it was May the 16th, perhaps, May the 19th, maybe. I made the remark when we were talking about the sinner's prayer, which is not found in the Bible, that there is no sinner's prayer because sinners don't have a prayer. And that's really true. God loves sinners, but sinners don't have a prayer. God wants sinners to be saved, but sinners don't have a prayer. Because prayer is not the way that God has told sinners who are outside of Christ to respond to God. The gospel plan of salvation is clearly evident in the New Testament. And to try to be saved some other way by praying a sinner's prayer is really a slap in the face of the God who revealed the Bible. The Lord said, if you want to show your appreciation to Him, you've got to believe that He's who He claimed He was, repent of your sins, confess Him, and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. People say, well, I just don't see that baptism has any real purpose. Well, God connected it with the remission of sins. And to try to be saved without that is, in essence, saying, Lord, I just don't care. I don't appreciate your plan of salvation. You may not intend to convey that, but how else can God interpret it? If you express appreciation as you ought, it may be worth $1,000 a year in the change of attitude and the things that will come to you because of your expression of appreciation. When we start showing appreciation like we should, a great many of our problems perhaps will begin to solve themselves. And if you have the problem of being outside of Christ, that indeed is a problem. Please understand that it is a problem and respond to God on His own terms. If you are subject to the gospel call today, repenting of your sins, confessing Him, come forward, let this group know what your intentions are, and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, that you may rise and walk in newness of life. Then go on your way rejoicing, appreciating God. If that's your desire today, or if we can assist you in any other manner, come forward to the front and let us know while we stand together and sing the invitation number.